Before you put your prayer books down, I'd like to draw your attention to page 5, where we're second part of the praise. Five verses down, there's a very famous phrase, do not commit any non-virtuous action, accumulate virtue and goodness, subdue your own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. So, is this working okay? People can hear me? Yeah, good. So if people ask you what you're doing, if they say, well, what are we teaching here? Or what's Buddhism? This is the classical reply, okay? The way this is translated is from the individual liberation point of view, where the emphasis is on subduing the mind. We usually start out meditation with a pretty out of control mind, but as the practice continues, we might find out that we can begin to tame. We don't have to subdue, and then later we can liberate the mind. Mind meaning thoughts and emotions and everything of awareness. And then finally, we can just leave our mind, leave our awareness as it is. But even when we're doing highest level practices, such as Mahamudra and Dzogchen, we're still doing good and avoiding unskillful, negative, evil actions. Padmasambhava Gurumshe said, my vision is as vast as the sky, and my activity, my action, is as fine as barley flour. So all the teachers I've known, realized beings, Buddhas, they've really completely vast vision, and they pay attention to their actions and their speech impeccably. So sometimes in America we hear, like, the essence of Buddhism is don't be attached, or be mindful. These are nice things to say, but if you go home, particularly newcomers, and you go, well, what's Buddhism all about? You can say, do not commit any non-virtuous action, accumulate virtue and goodness, subdue your own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. That's easy, right? So many great teachers, such as one of my teachers, Dujum Rinpoche, His Holiness Dujum Rinpoche, would give teachings on this, you know? And at first, I thought, well, I know that stuff, you know? But went into such depth that I finally came to appreciate. So this is understood on different levels, but for the complete teachings of the Buddha, everything is in these four lines. Just makes sense, right? Yeah. So sometimes we say Four Noble Truths, Eightfold Path. Sometimes people have a hard time remembering Four Noble Truths as well as Eightfold Path. But do good, avoid evil, liberate your mind stream. This is the teaching of the Buddha. We can remember that, right? That's easy. Yeah, good. Today I want to give some teachings, on Shambhala, and asked that the text be passed out, prayers for the journey to Shambhala. We have that. Has the green, looks very green here, doesn't it? Yeah. Our Dharma lineage is in the tradition of the Dalai Lama, and the most consistent practice and teaching that the Dalai Lama has given around the world is the Kalachakra Tantra. Kala means time, chakra means wheel. So it's like time cycles. I think Dalai Lama has given the Kalachakra teachings maybe 40 times now, you know. If we create an aspiration for the Dalai Lama to give Kalachakra in Sacramento, that would be nice. Yeah. Take some planning. Hope there's some planners in the audience. The Kalachakra Tantra, according to a realized tradition, was taught by the Buddha in a stupa in South India at the same time he was teaching the Prajnaparamita at Vulture's Peak in northern India. So this is a very special tantra. It's one of the longest, most involved tantras, and has everything from astrology and astronomy to medicine to politics, you know, to how to do the yogas in the tantra. Some of us here have had the opportunity to take the initiation directly from Dalai Lama, some from others' teachers. We had a Kalachakra retreat in, was it 2011? Yeah. So this practice is a major part of what I do, hopefully at home, and what I'd like to see practiced in the vision for Dona Darge here, the temple here too. Historically, you know, from Western Buddhist studies point of view, Western scholars have thought that this was the last tantra composed in India, and it was written during a time of political upheaval in India. It mentions a whole bunch of different peoples. It mentions different religions. The Kalachakra has both, you know, Buddhist and Hindu deities and practices in it. It's very much for world peace. In fact, that's what Dalai Lama talks about. He always says, "This is Kalachakra for world peace." I don't think he has. I don't think he calls the other impairments that, you know. But this one's for world peace. And generally, when he gives teachings on the Kalachakra, it isn't just the details of the yoga, but it's his plea for world peace. So before I say some more, I thought it'd be nice if we read out the two prayers here so you get some idea of the role this has played in the tradition. Your text should start with a prayer of the Kalachakra path. Is it there? maybe we have a good problem. We need to print more. So people are sharing. So you can read out loud or read along like that. So let's start. Oh, great treasuries bestowing all realizations, supreme gurus embodying all objects of refuge, master of knowledge, beings greater than gods, I direct my spiritual aspirations to you. Grant me auspicious guidance, blessings, and care. A flash of lightning cuts through the night, eliminating the darkness for but a moment. This human incarnation, too, endures for but an instant. It is rarely found and easily lost. Accomplished gurus, may I be inspired by this insight and turn my mind always to the enlightened path. Like a stream flowing over a cliff and like clouds of autumn, our time steadily passes and there is nothing we can do to stop it. May I be inspired to generate within my mind stream awareness of this impermanent nature of things, the transcend quality of life and samsara. At the time of death, one cannot look for help to friends, relatives, wealth, or possessions. The only companions able then to follow are the karmic seeds of the black and white actions accumulated during one's lifetimes. And these are like a shadow trailing the body. May I be inspired to give rise within myself to certain knowledge of the workings of karmic law. To a mind bereft of wisdom, this world of samsara offers little but suffering interspersed with short refrains. Sea monsters of pain ravage the body and mind as one boat tosses in the waves of karma and delusion. May I therefore be inspired to lose interest in the vain fancies of ephemeral pursuits and aspire instead to spiritual freedom. In my countless lifetimes since beginningless time, each living being has often been a mother to me, caring for me then with great kindness, and now they are afflicted with great suffering. Unable to endure the thought of their torment, may I be inspired to experience the supreme meaningful, the aspiration to achieve highest enlightenment, and the means to become most useful in this world. Vast indeed are the bodhisattva practices, such as the six perfections and four ways of benefiting trainees, that mature the mind streams of both within and others. May I be inspired to step forth with undaunted daring into this great way leading to enlightenment and apply myself single-pointedly to the bodhisattva path. Having thus trained the mind in the methods shared by both the sutra and tantra vehicles, one becomes a suitable vessel for tantric practice and enters through the door of the Vajrayana. By receiving the according initiations, having done this, may I be inspired to guard the disciplines and trainings of this tradition and to achieve great proficiency in the yogas of both the generation and completion stages. Especially may I be inspired to accomplish the meditations of the supreme yogas of the profound tantric path of Kala Chakra, the king of tantric traditions, and thus purify and dissolve all physical materiality, giving rise to the dance of the empty body in union with the great unchanging bliss that in turn induces the highest enlightenment, the state of the primordial Buddha, Kala Chakra. Very good. In this short prayer, it's covered the four thoughts that turn the mind to Dharma. So, and of course starts with supplication to the guru. Then points out how rare it is to find human life. Some people, when things are going poorly, want to become birds or their pet cats or dogs or something. And I get that, but we have an opportunity as human beings to practice. So use it, please. Then Dalai Lama reminds us, Pachan Lama reminds us that things are impermanent. So first, homage to our teachers, then precious human life, then impermanence. And then noticing the world of cause and effect of karma. There's been a lot of commentaries on karma. One of my favorite ones was from a contemporary Zen teacher, passed away in the late 80s, early 90s, Isan Dorsey of San Francisco. Isan said, "You get what you deserve, whether you deserve it or not." Yeah, so I know, you always think, well, I don't deserve that. But we just get it, you know. And then on the second page, Pachan Lama reminds us that as long as we're confused, there's no way out. So it's called the defects of samsara. By generating, then, after that, the wish for enlightenment, by remembering the kindness of our mothers, we take on the bodhisattva path. So yesterday, gave a workshop and talked a lot about moms. So here they are again. Then we generate the special desires to engage in tantra, particularly in the tantra of the Kala Chakra. So this is very strange, you know, where usually we don't talk this way, but in the Kala Chakra has a special way. The last paragraph says, "And thus purify and dissolve all physical materiality, giving rise to the dance of the empty body." This is a very particular way of understanding phenomena, appearance, and understanding emptiness. One of the great teachers of the 19th century, Jamgon Kuntro, did a wonderful comparison and looked at the Dzogchen practices of the Kala Chakra. And maybe next time we get to do a retreat, and we'll go into that. Just a little teaser. So for those people that say, well, how do these different meditation systems fit together? In union with the great unchanging bliss. In our tradition, we like talking about bliss. There's no problem with talking about pleasure and bliss in our tradition. So we don't have to create a situation where we're scared of being happy or having pleasure. You can see everything's colorful here, right? So when you approach the altar, maybe after the service, the idea is that you're going to see this empty body and you're going to be able to dance along with your perceptions. Is that possible? I think you can do it. When we say dissolving all physical materiality, we're dissolving not something in the outside world, but dissolving our fixed ideas about phenomena, appearance, and what we think the mind and our body are. Usually when we say empty body, we think this body, right? The one we're walking around in. But in Kalachakra, in Great Completion Meditation, Dzogchen, all you have to do is look around and you see your body. So my whole body looks very beautiful right now, you know? So, you know, in a weird way, you know, the temple's our body, the rug's our body, and actually other people in this room are our bodies too, right? We're assuming we all have good boundaries. But on a inner level, everything you see, hear, taste, touch, experience is your own body. Don't we want to be nice to our own bodies, you know? Don't we want to take care of ourselves? So, you know, usually from our practice in Dharma, it starts with ourselves, our own body with our personal name on it, taking care of our clothes. My teacher and I was, I don't know how he did it. I can't do it just right. I mean, whenever he'd put it on the roof, they would just kind of fall, you know, just right. I mean, just kind of cool. Sometimes when he'd come up to Nevada City, he was staying at some friends' houses. We didn't have a temple that time. And I'd come in and I would just hear this vacuum going. And he'd be vacuuming. He was taking out the trash and vacuuming. So taking care of our body starts with taking care of the world and realizing that everything's our body. We wouldn't want to, do we want to do self-harm? Right, we wouldn't want to cut on our bodies, right? You don't want to like stomp and hit on your body, do you? No. So in the Kalachakra teachings, there's a big emphasis on dissolving this duality between what we think is our private body and what we think is our public body. Hence, in the Kalachakra Shambhala teachings, there's a big involvement with the community and creating a beautiful environment. Let's turn to the Shambhala prayer on the next page. Homage to the kind spiritual master, inseparably one with the glorious Kalachakra, who has attained to the state of the empty body, with the great unchanging bliss possessing all excellences and constant praise with the beautiful Dharma Dhatu lover. In the north of India lies the fabulous land of Shambhala, with the city of Kalapa, a jewel in its heart. There in its center, seated on a throne studded with gems, as though riding a magical flying horse, is Ramachakra, fierce holder of the wheel. Bless me that I may behold you in Shambhala, wisely guiding your throngs of devotees And when the time comes to tame the barbarians, may you keep me in your inner circle. Should I die before achieving enlightenment, may I be reborn in Shambhala, in the city of Kalapa, and have good fortune to drink the honey of the sublime teachings of the Kalkan master. May I take tonight the profound non-dual message of yogic states of tantric practice as taught in the Guhya Samaja, Yamantaka, Haruka Chakra Samvara, and Kala Chakra. Thus, in this very lifetime, may I achieve realization of the clear light and the illusory body of perfect union, or the empty body conjoined with the unchanging bliss. So, Kalapa, Kala, like, is time, pause, place. So, another major teaching of Kala Chakra Tantra is the right time, the right place. This is the right time, right? You're here. Yeah. So a lot of times people, we say now, very popular term, Eckhart Tolle, it's good now. The Kala Chakra talks about the now place, the now, like this building is now, or the rug is now, your body is now. So now is not just, it's not time separate from every other perception. There's a maybe some Zen students in here, like studied Dogen Zenji Shobo Genzo, maybe? I don't know. And he has a text called Being Time, Uji. And the tree is being time. The tree is time. Time is objects, not a measurement. Mostly time seems to be a measurement, right? People going time, you know, every moment, right? But what if that's not the case? Time is the same as the rest of phenomena. Time's not separate from the rest of phenomena. Time's not separate from your eye, your ear, your nose. We usually think it's separate, right? Like separate. So in Kala Chakra and in Dzogchen, each sense, each realization is complete time. It's a little bit like, as shows my age, as an author, Kurt Vonnegut, Slaughterhouse Five, and he gets taken up to Tralfamador, you know, and the Tralfamadorians say, you're here, you've always been here, and you always will be here. And I think during that time, the Tralfamadorians also blow up the earth or something. In the Slaughterhouse Five people here, you know. And we've blown it up, and it's not blown up. And we'll blow it up again. And we have, you know, it's like, it's being time. So it's kind of weird, but from Kala Chakra point of view, everyone in this room has been here, is here, will always be here. Because we usually think, even when we say now, well, it's now, and then that passes, right, or something. But there's no now either. Like, it's weird. There's no So, and they say kalachakra cycles of time. Everything is cycling. Everything, there's no outside for the cycle, so it feels timeless. Would it be okay for you guys just to be here forever? Would that be okay? When you say it's okay for me to be here forever, then you're starting to enter Kalapa, the, you know, capital city. At least in our shamatha practice, our calm abiding practice, we've attained some level of shamatha when you just don't want to be anywhere else. A lot of times when people are doing shamatha practice, they're always managing their thoughts, right? And that is true. You know, we're noticing, okay, there's less thoughts and there's styles of shamatha that talk about those 9 or 10 stages. But Mahamudra Dzogchen style shamatha is like, you don't want to be anywhere else. Have anybody here had that experience where you just don't want to be? There's no, you're not even trying to stay there, right? It's not like, well, I wish I could keep this going. It's not even that. There's no, like, there's no grasping to, I want to keep here. There's no desire to leave. You know, there's no, like, then you're approaching the kalapa, the on time, do the things one with time, the time place, on time, the right place is kalapa. My first teacher, the Vijayadra Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the name of his personal house was Kalapa. And it was called Kalapa Court. Like that. He had a staff that would take care of the house, but what was interesting is the house was like a mansion, and people would be coming and going all the time. I think that was hard on his marriage, you know, people would just kind of come and go all the time. Like sometimes you'd be asked to show up. Rinpoche will see you 2 o'clock. What time do you think it was? Yeah, 2 o'clock a.m. Or, you know, 4 o'clock, you know, like. So that's important. The teacher is always there, so show up anytime. Anytime's a good time. Anytime's a good time to show compassion. Wake up. Do you think this is a good time to be a Buddha now? Or are you thinking, well, it'll happen somewhere else, some other time, right? Thinking, when I do more retreat, or when I retire, or when I get to Dharamsala, or when I do my 3-year retreat, or when I go to Nepal or Milarepa's cave. That's your hallucination, right? It's always going to happen. Notice I didn't say now. It's just always going to happen. Isn't that weird? There's no better time. Could there be a better time? No, there's no better time. Do you need to become a better person? Are you going to get another body? No. You're not going to get another body this lifetime, right? No. So you have empty body. Empty body means you're not going to get a better body. You won't have a better time. No. So and the time comes to tame the barbarians. So when we're saying tame, like going back to do good, avoid evil, tame the mind, what's tame mean? Doesn't say kill the barbarians, does it? No. How do you tame a nice, you know, you get a new dog, and or I don't know, you get a little tiger, you get a little training, you tame, you know, to tame an animal, you know, do you beat the animal? Do you lock it up or something? No, you work with it. Gentle, you playful, you do the proper, I don't know. Anybody actually like taking their pet to obedience training? Yeah, like that. So bless me that I may behold you in Shambhala, wisely guiding your throngs of devotees. And when the time comes to tame the barbarians, may you keep me in your inner circle. So in this poem, it mentions these four incredible tantras. Some of you may have some impairments in this tantra. The last one is generally the Kala Chakra. If we read the commentary on the Kala Chakra, the stainless light, it's quite involved. But at some point I'm willing to go over that with people. But what's most important today is that we have this strange idea of our body and this strange idea of time. Those two, you got those two, right? And then the understanding about taming the mind. Any tiger tamers here? Lion tamers? That's one reason we call our temple system Lion's Roar. So we proclaim the truth, but we're also lion tamers, right? Is it possible we could do a meditation without taking a break? Could we do that? Yeah. So, very simply, the approach, it's still somewhat fabricated, but the approach is you know, everyone here and everything you perceive is your own body, and you've always been here, you're here, and you always will be here with everyone here. We're not going anywhere. There's no impermanence. We're not going anywhere. So we have about 25 minutes for our meditation, then we do with the close. Getting these basics and doing the prayers to enter Shambhala are necessary, and then next Sunday, next time I teach on a Sunday, we can work from a Terma text on Shambhala that I found, so called the Shambhala Journey. So I've given a little reading on that already, but we'll do that next time we meet. Okay. You know, people can stretch out their legs if I just want to share one thing. It was like one of the best. Some people were here yesterday. I don't know. One of the best things that happened the whole day was a gentleman kind of came off the street, and then we got to the place in reading where we're talking about, just may your meditation be uninhibited, naked ease. And he just kind of laid back on the chair. And I thought that's it. Okay, I can go home now. You know, it's like, it was a little uncomfortable with the chair, but like, you know, finally someone actually said, okay, well, what would that be like? You know, that Dzogchen style of complete, just, you know, like, okay. So if you feel you need to do that, that's okay. You know, just, you know, don't kick the person. You know, they might not like that because it's your body you're kicking, but, you know, so, you know, so we were talking about, yeah, and, you know, just, the Dzogchen practice, just uninhibited, let your mind be an uninhibited naked ease. So what would that look like? Well, that would just kind of stretch it out. So if you feel inspired, you can do that. in 1981, I think, the 16th Karmapa was... actually dying in Zion, Illinois, south of Chicago. And I had a friend, Irma, and she was like one of those kind of in-crowd people you see in sanghas. You know, they get to go to those, like, get to go to the things. I was like a nobody. So she was able to be... there and talk with the Karmapa. So she said, these are good questions to ask lamas. You know, I said, well, Karmapa is like one of the head lamas, one of the major lineages, present 17th Karmapa, wonderful teacher. And so the 16th, so she asked, kind of neat, kind of American style, like, well, what happens when you die? Karmapa knew a little bit of English, you know, so what do you think he said? Nothing happens. When she came back and told me, I was very disappointed. because, you know, I wanted... kind of the whole kind of bardo teaching and, you know, that. But now I'm beginning to appreciate that. Nothing happens. So he didn't go anywhere. That'd be okay if you don't go anywhere when you die? Do you think you'll still be in Sacramento? Where are you going to be? Where is the don't go anywhere place? Okay, you got to find that out, you know. Like, I mean, he's stay in Sacramento and want to go another planet, you know. So, go anywhere. Oh, one question. That's a Leonard Cohen. Yeah. These are called, in Vajrayana, called pith instructions. It's a little bit like the Zen stories, yeah. So there are these wonderful moments. If you hang out in Dharma long enough, then you pick these up. But you kind of have to be there to win, you know. So Irma was there. It's cool. So need to do prayers. And I was thinking, we have this wonderful brocade table. We should put that in front here with the little Donna basket, you know? Because afterwards, in Asia, people make donations lots of times before they come into a temple. Anybody been to India or, you know, or even Kim Kwan? But, you know, I want people to also... at the end, you know, you think that was a really good talk, you know, then but it's also nice to come in and approach the altar, right? So usually I don't think people do that. I, you know, maybe come and sit down, but you don't, you don't come up on the altar, but you just come right up here, you know, and then you know, you'd make offering lots of times. That's kind of in India, the monasteries and temples is kind of like place you offer kata and put it out and things like that. Some of the like Penarimsha's Mindraring temple in southern India by Sarojay, the Guru Rinpoche statue is twice the height of this ceiling. And being a good Presbyterian, I used to think, well, this is silly, we don't need this. But, you know, when you see these awe-inspiring works of art, something opens up, right? Gets bigger. And in Japan, they have these huge temples and Buddhas. You know, who's been to Japan? You know, it's just, yeah. It's, you know, there's nothing like it, right? So people should approach the altar, and if you want to make a donation, that's great. Usually, you know, you think you're leaving something like that. So the temples mean to feel like you're walking inside your body. You want to know what your body looks like? Of course, it might not conform to Western anatomy, but you want to feel like you're walking inside your body and it's beautiful. Don't you want to make an offering to your body? It's like, body, I love you. Take care. I want to take care of you. That's so nice. No. Yeah. Okay.